this week's parasha is Vayeshev. Naf Torah comes from Sefer Amos, again from the Treyasar, the 12 lesser known, smaller books of the prophets, Perek Beis, to the beginning of Perek Gimel. The Haftarah starts, source number one, Koyamar Hashem, so says Hashem, Al Shalosha Pishe Yisrael, on the three sins of Yisrael. Yisrael is a reference to the northern kingdom. After the kingdom of the Jewish people was split, there was the northern kingdom, which was Yisrael, the ten Shvatim, and the southern kingdom, which was Yehuda and Binyamin. So here, the Navi addresses Pishe Yisrael, the sins of Yisrael, the northern kingdom. Says, for the three sins, Hashem says, so to speak, I can look away. For the fourth sin, I can't refrain, I can't hold back from bringing retribution upon them. Al michrom bakesef tzadik, because of the fact they sold for money a righteous person, the evyoin, and a poor person, ba'avur na'aloyim, in exchange for shoes. So the Navi says, look, if you look back from the beginning of the Sefer, the Navi Amos has a series, one after another, of Al Shloisha Pishei, a certain nation, Val Arbo Lo Yashivenu. It says, for the three sins of that nation, Hashem says, I could, so to speak, look away, but for the fourth sin, then I can't look away anymore, and I have to punish them. And it's one nation after another, there's Damesek, and there's Moyov, and there's Tsoir, one nation after the other, then there's immediately preceding this Nevuah, he says, the same sort of Nevuah, the same format of a Nevuah about Yehuda, about the southern kingdom of the Jewish people, Al Shloisha Pishei Yehuda. And finally over here, he gets to Israel, the northern kingdom of the Jewish people. He says that for the three sins, Hashem says, I could look away, but Al Arba, the fourth sin, Lo Yashivenu. He says, Hashem says, for the fourth sin, then I have to bring punishment upon them, bring destruction. And the Pashup Pshat, the Pashup explain that the Shloisha Pishei Yisrael are referring to the three cardinal sins that we're familiar with, Gili Arayis, adultery, Shfichas Domim, murder, Avodah Zarah, and idolatry. Those three sins, those are the three sins, and Hashem says, despite the severity of those three sins, Al Shloisha Pishei Yisrael, Hashem says, despite that, I can still look away. However, Val Arbo Le'ashivenu, when it comes to the fourth sin, Hashem says, I can't let it pass, I can't let it go, and I have to bring punishment and destruction. What's the fourth sin? Al Michrom Bakesef Tzadik. Mefarshim explained, this is referring to, there was corruption in the judicial system. Al Michrom Bakesef, they would sell for money Tzadik, a righteous person, for judgment. The case came in front of a judge, and there was some wealthy people involved in the case, so they would pay him off, they would give bribes to the judge to, so to speak, sell the righteous person to make him, to rule against the righteous person. Though one person really should have won the case, should have been found to be righteous, perhaps he should have been awarded money in the case, but because Amichram Bakeset, they sold for money Tzadik, the righteous person, they accepted bribes to judge unfairly and improperly. The Evgen Ba'avur Na'aloyim, and sell the poor person Ba'avur Na'aloyim for shoes. They would rule against the poor person and force him to pay money that he really didn't have. He couldn't afford to pay. And that's the Pashup Shad of the Pasuk. From the Pirkei Eliezer, which is source number two, he understands the Pasuk, darshens the Pasuk a little differently. And he brings from the events in our parasha, when the brothers, the Shvatim, Yosef came to them, so they took him, they wanted to kill him, and Reuven convinced them to throw him into the bar, to throw him into the pit. And the Pirkei Eliezer says that Reuven went up to the mountains to go there and hide and wait till the brothers would go away, and then he'd go save Yosef, take him out of the pit. Says the Pirkei Eliezer, B'sho'a Achas, at that same time when Reuven was waiting in the mountains for his brothers to go away, so he could say Yosef from the pit. His brothers were all sitting together, all the rest of the Shvatim. They all had one intention, one idea. They were all on the same page. So the caravan of the Yishma'elim passed by. The brothers said to each other, come, let us sell him to the Yishma'elim. Why should we leave him here in the pit? Let's sell him to the Yishma'elim. They'll take him to the edge of the desert far away. And Yaakov Avinu will never hear about him again. He'll never hear about it. The news will never reach his ears. It'll be too far away, too distant. He'll never know what happened. Indeed, they sold him to Yishma'elim be'esrim kasef for 20 silver pieces. Kol echod ve'echod notal shnei ksofim. Each one took 2 silver pieces. Liknois minolim b'raglayim, to buy shoes for their feet. Shenemar says in the pasuk, our pasuk al michron b'kesef tzadik ve'evyon b'avun aloyim. That's what it's referring to in the pasuk. Hashem says Jewish people have to be punished. Al michron b'kesef tzadik, they sold b'kesef for silver coins. Tzadik, a righteous person. Ve'evyon b'avun aloyim, the poor, helpless person. B'avun aloyim, in other words, they use the money to buy themselves shoes. Mefarshim say that they bought, use the money to buy shoes to show that the shoes go on the feet. It's a very, it's not a very important or a choshuv garment. They wanted to show that Yosef was trying to raise himself up with his dreams. He was trying to show that he was more important than them. So they wanted to show that they disregarded him, that he wasn't as important as he thought he was. They sold him, they used that money to buy shoes, put on their feet. And that was sort of a derogatory thing to indicate that that they felt that he wasn't as important as he projected himself to be.
I heard maybe wrong that the shoe idea, that they wanted to show that their judgment was right and he shouldn't be mourned for, so they put shoes on instead of removing shoes.
That could be as well. So that's how the Pirkei Rabbi Elazar, the pasuk, that the pasuk is referring to the sale of Yosef, the Ma'al Michron Ba'Kesef Tzadik. This tzaddik that's being referred to is Yosef. The Medrash Tanchuma, Parshas Noach, says that we find that people who sustain others are referred to as tzaddik. We find by Noach, right, it says Noach ish tzaddik. Noach, when they were in the Teva, during the Mabul, he sustained, the whole world was dependent on Noach. He provided the food for all the people and all the animals in the Teva. And here as well, the tzaddik, says the Medrash, is referring to Yosef, that Yosef also, when it came to the time for the famine in Mitzrayim, it was Yosef who provided the food and sustenance for Mitzrayim and for anyone else in the surrounding areas which were plagued by the famine. He provided the food and the sustenance for everyone. So he's referred to as a tzaddik. And that's the way the Pirkei Rabbi Elazar understands the pasuk. Darshan is the pasuk. And we know that indeed the pasuk says, this is the fourth sin that lo yashivenu, Hashem says that it has to be there has to be punishment for this sin. We know Chazal tell us that the Asor Harugi Malchus, the 10 martyrs who were killed by the government, we say about them on in the Musaf of Yom Kippur. We say piyut about them. We say kino about them on Tisha B'Av. It's more apparent in the piyut on Yom Kippur, that the punishment of those 10 great tzaddikim, the 10 great gedolim of Klal Yisrael, their punishment was for the sale of Yosef, the 10 brothers who sold Yosef. So the punishment had to come out later on, much later on, in the murder of the Asor Ahugi Malchus, the 10 martyrs. It's a fascinating piece in the Abarbanel here. The Abarbanel says, could be you're aware of this, but I was not, that the Noitrim, the Christians, bring this pasuk as a proof and a basis for their belief. And they say that the tzaddik referred to in this pasuk is Yeshu, their supposed savior. So they believe Yeshu, Yoshka. They say that Amichron Makasef Tzaddik, that he was sold for 15 silver pieces, So the story goes, he was sold for 15 silver pieces to the Romans. That's what the pasuk is referring to. That Hashem says to that the Navi says to the Jewish people that they're going to be punished al michnon b'kesef tzaddik for selling for the silver pieces tzaddik who they understand to be Yeshu. That's what Abarbanel says that the Noitzrim, that's what they claim based on this pasuk. Abarbanel says that it's wrong for two reasons. Clearly wrong for two reasons. First of all, by the time Yeshu came around, the Yisrael, the northern kingdom, no longer existed. The Yisrael, the northern kingdom, the Ten Shvatim, they were exiled long before Yeshu ever came into existence. And perhaps they'll say, it says Yisrael doesn't mean the northern kingdom, it means the Jewish people in general. It says that by Abarbanel, like we mentioned before, the previous psukim talk about Shloisha Pisha Yehuda. So we see that there's two sections. There's the Pisha Yehuda and the Pisha Yisrael. So if the Pisha Yehuda, Yehuda is clearly referring to the southern kingdom, to Yehuda and Binyamin. And Yisrael is clearly referring to the northern kingdom, which was exiled long before Yeshu came to be. For this couldn't possibly be referring to Yeshu, because they wouldn't be connected with Yisrael, with the northern kingdom, which was not around, didn't exist in the times of Yeshu. That's first of all. Second of all, says that Abarbanel, and the pasuk continues, Ve'evyon ba'avun aloyim, and even in the Christian sources, there's no reference at all, no mention that there was any shoes involved in the sale of Yeshu. So therefore, he says that it doesn't make sense. It doesn't really work to say that this pasuk is referring to Yeshu. And with that, he refutes the claim of the Noitzrim, of the Christians who say this pasuk is referring to Yeshu. Getting back to the pasuk pshat.
Just a little clarification on what the Abarbanel said. It's a nevuah. It's a prophecy of a future. Even though he might not have been born, all our nevuahs are things that are yet to come.
Right, the problem is that it's attributed to Yisrael. Mm-hmm. There can't be a connection between Yisrael, the northern kingdom of the Jewish people, and Yeshu. Mm-hmm. You can't blame Yisrael for the sale of Yeshu, because Yeshu and Yisrael didn't exist at the same time. Mm-hmm. Right? And Yeshu didn't come until after the kingdom of Yisrael no longer existed. Okay. So you can't blame it. There's no connection. It doesn't make sense. Get back to the pasuk pshat, the simple understanding of the pasuk. So the pasuk says, again, without any of the drashas, the pasuk says that there's three sins. Hashem says, "Al shoisha pishay Yisrael." Okay, but arbo lo yashivenu. But for the fourth sin, Hashem says that I can't tolerate. The fourth sin was okay. Either was the chamos, or there was the corruption. So the pasuk pshat is it's referring to the corruption of the judicial system. The corruption of people in general. So what's this? What does this mean? In fact, the Rambam actually paskins this. Take a look at source number 3. It's actually Gemara Maseches Yumah Daf Pei Vav. But there's different versions of the Gemara, and the Rambam is based on a version of the Gemara that's not the same as what we have. So we'll just see it in the Rambam. The Rambam says, "B'shah sheshoiklin avoynos odom," at the time when the sins of a person are weighed, together with his merits, ein mechashvin olav, we don't calculate for him, avoin shechoto boi tchila v'loy sheni. Hashem doesn't take into account as part of the calculation the first sin and not the second sin. Elam yishlishi v'eilech, only from the third sin and on. B'medvar ma'amurim b'yachid. So he says that's referring to an individual. When Hashem is judging an individual, so the first two sins aren't taken into account, only the third and on. Shenemar, the source for this is an apostle in Eoiv, says, the previous apostle talks about that Hashem, if you look in the English side, I put it in brackets, Hashem absolved him from passing into the grave. This is a conversation between Eoiv and his friends. It says, Hashem absolved him from passing into the grave, but the next apostle says, Hein kol eileh, but however, all of this, Yifal kel, Hashem does it pa'amayim sholosh im gover. Hashem does it pa'amayim, we'll do it twice, or sholosh im gover, twice or three times with a person. Because Hashem does it, there's a limited amount of times Hashem's going to do this, Hashem's going to absolve him from passing into the grave. He kol el yifal kel pa'amayim, only two times. The Rambam, at least according to his understanding of the Gemara, the understanding of the Pasuk, that the pasuk only allows for this two times. But the third time, then Hashem says, Hashem will not absolve him anymore, Hashem will not tolerate it anymore by the third time. So that's for an individual. The Rambam continues. Avlat Tzibor, when it comes to the Tzibor, when it comes to the community as a whole, Toilin Lohen Ovin Rishoin Sheni Ushlishi, so in the first three sins, Hashem is Toile, He suspends them. Hashem doesn't take them into account right away. Shinemar, it says, Al Shloisha Pisha Yisrael Val Arbo Leashivenu. Right, for three sins, Hashem says that we can look away. I could absolve him in the first three sins, but Val Arbo, on the fourth sin, Leashivenu, then it's already too much. Then Hashem says, I can't tolerate. So you see, the Rambam, it's halacha. The Rambam brings this and writes this as halacha. Okay, there's two different categories. There's an individual, there's the community. Two slightly different ways in which Hashem deals with them. But we see in both of them the same startling idea. That for the first sins, Hashem, so to speak, looks away. And when it comes to the third or the fourth sin, then Hashem says, okay, I can't look away anymore. Now I actually have to punish, and I actually have to do something about it. So what's this all about? There's two ways, there's two possibilities. Is this talking about someone who did tshuva, who did a real tshuva for the sins? Well, if that's the case, if he's being absolved of his first few sins because he did tshuva, so then why is it limited to only one or two or three, perhaps three sins? If a person does tshuva, Hashem is always waiting for a person to do tshuva. Hashem will never reject anyone's tshuva. If a person does tshuva, Hashem will forgive as many sins as a person has. So it can't be talking about a case where he did tshuva. So the person didn't do tshuva. So what's the meaning of this? There's no such thing. Right? The Gemara says that kol ha'im HaKadosh Baruch Hu vatron. A person is not allowed to say that Hashem is a vatron and just lets things go. There's no such thing. There's din, there's judgment. Any action that a person does is either punished or rewarded. And no sin is ignored. There's no such thing. So how are we to understand this? What's this all about? So the Sefer Or Avraham from one of my Rabbeim in Eretz Yisrael, he says like this. He says, we take a look at the famous, another Rambam, the more well-known Rambam. The Rambam says, in source number 4, Ayis Dalid, Kol Echad, again, Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva, Paragimel. Both of these Rambams are in Hilchos Tshuva and Paragimel. Kol Echad ve'echad b'mnei ha'odom, yesh le'i zechuyes va'avoyimis. The Rambam says, every single person has merits and sins. That's the nature of a person. Person sins. Mishes hu yoisav yisayu yisav avayno yisav tzaddik. So someone whose merits are more than his sins, he's a tzaddik. He's considered a tzaddik. He gets the title tzaddik, righteous. O misha avayno yisav yisayu yisav zchu yoisav. Me, someone sh avayno yisav his sins yisayu yisav more as zchu yoisav, more than his merits, rasha. He gets the title rasha, wicked person. Mechtzel and mechtzav, it's half and half, beinoni. Then he is considered an average person. The Chen HaMedina. The same applies not just to individuals, but to the country as well. If the merits of its inhabitants are more than their sins, then it's a tzadekes. This is considered a tzadekes Medina, a righteous country. Mirubin, if his sins are more, the sins of the country are more, it's a wicked, wicked country. The same applies to the entire world. As we find by the Babel, it came a point where the entire world, the calculation of sins, was more than the merits, and the world had to be destroyed. And the Rambam continues the next halacha. Person whose sins are more than his merits, so right away, he dies as a result of his wickedness. Same applies to a country. The same applies, as we just mentioned, to a country. So Rambam tells us that two things. First of all, a person's merits and his sins are calculated, and if the merits are more than the sins, then he gets the name Tzaddik. If his sins are more than his merits, he gets the name Rasha, wicked. And someone has half and half to a Beinoni. Now, if someone gets the name Rasha, So then it says, Miyad humeis, he dies right away. So the first question is, what's the significance? Someone's called a tzaddik. Okay? He's a tzaddik. What's the significance of that? And the Rasha, he's called a Rasha. Well, what's the significance of that? We know, as we mentioned before, every sin has to be punishment for, and every mitzvah, every zchus, every merit, there has to be reward for. So what's the significance? Rasha, tzaddik, why do we look at it? Why the sins and merits of a person look at in the big picture, calculated all together? What's the significance of that? Why is that relevant? Why is it important? And the Rasha is, if it's Avinoisav, the Rubinav, Zchuyoisav, Yadhu, Meisperisha, immediately he dies? Why should he immediately die? It should depend. It should depend. Each sin has to be punished. So why is it relevant the fact the sins are more than the merits? If he deserves to die because of his sins, so what does it have to do with the sins being more than the merits or less than the merits? So how are we to understand this? It all seems very puzzling. So let's take a look at Gemara Maseches Brachos on the next page. Actually, number 5. We got a little cut off. The Gemara says the following. Tanya, Rabbi Yossi Aglili Oymer, Rabbi Yossi Aglili and Brachos Nav Samach Aleph Omer Beis tells us, Tzadikim, righteous people, Yetzer Toiv Shoiftom. Yetzer Toiv, their good inclination, Shoiftom, it judges them or it controls them. Shenemar V'libi Chol V'kirbi. Pasuk says, my heart is wounded within me. Okay, let's not focus on that. Let's just continue. Rishayim Yetzer Ra Shoiftom. Rishayim, what do we know about them? Yetzer Ra, their evil inclination, Shoiftom, judges them, controls them. Shenemar Pesha L'Rosha B'kirv Libi Ein Pachm L'Kim L'Neged Eino. Fine. Beinoinim Zev Zeh Shoiftom. The average people, they're controlled by both. They're controlled by the Yetzer Toiv, their good inclination, and the Yetzer Hara, the evil inclination. So what does the Gemara tell us? The Gemara tells us the definition of a tzaddik and the definition of a rasha. Definition of a tzaddik is one who yetzer toiv shayftan, that his yetzer toiv, his good inclination, judges him and controls him. And the definition of a rasha is yetzer ra shayftan. The nature of a rasha is that his yetzer ra, his evil inclination, shayftan, judges him. And Beinanim have both. So what do we see from here? We see from here there's such a concept. And more than just looking at the specific actions of a person, is we have to look at the person's general conduct, his general nature. What's the nature of this person? Is this a person who is controlled, his primary guide is his Yetzer Toiv? That's who he, in general, if we look in general, what he does, he follows the Yetzer Toiv. Or is he a person who's controlled and he's led through life by his Yetzer Hara? His Yetzer Hara really has control over him and controls his life. Tzadikim, who's a tzadik? Someone who, although perhaps he sins sometimes, and he does sin sometimes. People sin, that's the way human beings are. He does sin sometimes. But what's the general mahalach? What's the general course of his life? Is he led? Is he guided by his yetzer toiv, or is he guided by his yetzer hara? Tzaddik is yetzer toiv shayftan. He's guided. His life is led by his yetzer toiv. He follows the yetzer toiv. Sometimes he slips up, makes mistakes, does things wrong, but in general, for the most part, his life is controlled by his yetzer toiv. A rasha, on the other hand, is the opposite. Certainly, he does good deeds, he does good things, he does mitzvahs, certainly. But in general, if you look at his life in general, look at the big picture, you'll see the Yetzer Ra Shoiftom. He's controlled by his Yetzer Hara. His Yetzer Hara is leading him through life, his Yetzer Hara is what guides him, and what determines, for the most part, the decisions that he makes in life. That's the Gemara's definition of Tzaddik and Rasha. Tzaddik is someone, not someone who doesn't sin. Yes.
For us, we don't know, so we go into Rosh Hashanah, presuming.
Okay, so, yeah, I mean, first of all, we're going to try to speak in the Rambam. It doesn't necessarily have to be the same as the Rambam, no? But also, I'll ask you a question back. There was the judgment of Rosh Hashanah. Right? That itself is his own question. What's the judgment of Rosh Hashanah all about? Right? Person did mitzvahs throughout the year, averos. What's Hashem like? Needs time to tally it up. He needs a special time to count up all the merits and the sins. So what's that all about? What's the judgment of Rosh Hashanah all about? Right? Whatever sins were done, were done. Whatever mitzvahs were done, were done. You know. So what's Rosh Hashanah all about?
Repentance.
You could repent anytime. So you understand you're saying that Rosh Hashanah is a time for repentance. The truth is that really Yom Kippur is a time for repentance, right? That's the day of the day of atonement. Right? That's Aseres Me'etshuva, days of repentance. What's the din? The judgment on Rosh Hashanah. What's the judgment? Fine, you're right, it's a time of repentance. I'm not disputing that. But what's the judgment of Rosh Hashanah? So start out well.
Okay.
No?
So it's like they're coupled together from Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. So.
But what's the judgment? Where is there any room for judgment? A person does sins. Whatever sins he did have to be there has to be punishment for. Whatever mitzvahs he did, there has to be reward for. And as they were done, they were recorded in the heavenly courts. And where is there any room for a judgment on Rosh Hashanah? Oh, so Rav Avraham Gruwitz explains based on this Gemara.
Sincerity and teshuva,
tefillah, and those are the things that are supposed to affect the judgment.
Yes.
That's not the judgment itself. What's the judgment about? What's the judgment? Now, do you want to tell me you could do teshuva, tefillah, and tzedakah that'll affect how Hashem deals with your sins that you did or your mitzvahs that you did? I understand, but where's the judgment? Where's any room for judgment? What are you judging for? What's Hashem judging? The sins that were done. At the time when they're done, Hashem knows what the intent was. Hashem knows what the severity was. Hashem knows all the circumstances. Where's there room for judgment on Rosh Hashanah? So Rav Avraham Gruwitz explains, Nor Avram, he explains, is actually there's two different ideas. We have to be dealt with completely separately. There's one calculation of punishment and reward. A person sins, he has to be punished. Person does mitzvahs, he has to be rewarded. But there's another calculation as well, and that's the calculation of tzaddik or rasha, which the Rambam speaks about, and the Gemara speaks about. There's another calculation besides for the reward and punishment for each individual, aveira and mitzvah. Hashem also looks at a person and has to decide what is this person's nature. What's he inclined towards? Is he inclined toward doing good things, following his yetzer toiv? Or is he chas v'sholem inclined towards his yetzer hara, doing things bad? And that's a separate calculation. And that's a calculation that's made on Rosh Hashanah. Throughout the year, a person does mitzvahs and aveirahs, and each one has to be dealt with on its own, and nothing goes unnoticed, nothing goes unjudged. But then when it comes to Rosh Hashanah, Hashem, the year ends, the new year is beginning, and Hashem has to looks at each person and says, okay, aveirahs and mitzvahs, but what's the nature of this person? What course is this person's life taking? Is he someone who's Yetzer Toiv Shoiftan? Someone who's controlled and led by his Yetzer Toiv? Then he's a tzaddik. Or is he someone who's Yetzer Ra Shoiftan? His life is led and controlled by his Yetzer Hara. His Yetzer Hara controls him. In that case, he's a Rasha. So that's the Rambam. If you look back at the Rambam in number 4, again, this is exactly what the Rambam is saying. The Rambam says every person has merits and sins. It says Mishas Chuyosiv Yaseris Alav Ignoisav Tzadik. Person whose merits are more than his sins, Tzadik. So what does that mean? His merits are more than his sins. Let's skip a couple of lines and go to the end, the last three or four lines. The Ein Shoiklin El Bedato Yishel Kel Deyos. When we measure these sins, the merits and the sins of a person, they're not measured ela bedato shel kel deyos, only with the knowledge, the understanding of kel deyos, of Hashem, who's the God of intellect, so to speak. Hashem, who's the ultimate, as the ultimate divine intellect. He's the one who knows how to arrange and to measure the merits opposite the sins. In other words, it's not a simple calculation of how many sins and how many merits. It's much deeper than that. It's much more intricate. The Hashem has to measure the sins, the merits and the sins of a person to see, do his merits measured opposite his sins show that he's a person who's inclined toward doing good things? Does it show me, Hashem says, that this person is controlled and led by his Yetzer Tov? Or does it tell me, Chas v'Shalom, that the person is led by his Yetzer Hara? When I measure up his sins against his merits, what does it show me, says Hashem? Does it indicate that he's a person who follows his Yetzer Tov? Or does it show me that it's a person who follows his Yetzer Hara? The measuring, comparing the zchuyos, the merits and the avoidance of the sins, that's the way in which Hashem determines what the general direction the life of this person takes. Based on that, so the Avram Gruitz explains, says that's what's going on here as well. We talk about Ashloisha Pishei Yisrael V'arabol Ashivenu. Certainly, we're not discussing over here the schar v'oynesh, reward and punishment. Certainly, every sin has to be a punishment for, and every mitzvah there has to be a reward for. Certainly, that's not what's being addressed here. We talk about the first three sins, the first two sins that Hashem says that those are not counted. That's just talking about as far as determining the whether this person's a tzaddik or a rasha. When it comes to the calculation of tzaddik or rasha, whether he's Yetzer Toiv Shoiftan, whether he's a person who's guided and led by his Yetzer Toiv, or is a person who's guided and led by his Yetzer Hara, Hashem says the first one or two or three times that the sin is done, Hashem says, I don't count those when I want to decide if it's tzaddik or rasha, because a person sins sometimes. It doesn't necessarily show me the nature of the person. It doesn't necessarily show me the person's inclination, what he's inclined to do, who he's controlled by, because sins happen. So the first two times for an individual, the first three times for the community, for this, the first two or three times a sin happens, Hashem says, that's not part of my calculation, because those don't necessarily determine the nature of a person and the course of the person's life or the community's life is taken. Because sins happen, Hashem says, Hashem understands that sins happen. So therefore, what it means over here is the first two times, the first three times, Hashem says, they're not part of the calculation. It's not part of the general calculation of determining if a person's a tzaddik or a rasha, if a person's righteous and controlled by his Yetzer Tov, or he's a person's a rasha, he's wicked and he's controlled by his Yetzer Hara. Because Hashem says that I understand that a person sometimes sins, even though it's not necessarily his general nature, or that's not the general course of his life.
Clarification.
Sure.
So the fourth time when they go into this, you know, they're cheating and, you know, judgment and the law or whatever they're doing, does that reflect back then? Therefore, retroactively, the first three were all, you know, like, sure, they were really wicked from the get-go. But if they, in judgment, if they're deal fairly with people, really, they're really righteous people and they were, you know, like that.
Yes, the Rambam does say that. I took out those words, it was just too lengthy, it didn't want to be too much. But the Rambam says that clearly. You can take a look at it if you want to. This is the Rambam in Perek Gimel. Halacha, hey, he writes that clearly.
The consistent course of conduct goes back to the beginning?
It reflects back.
Once
it's determined that...
course of conduct.
It reflects back, right. Once determined that really the person's nature is to do bad, then Hashem says, okay, so those first sins also came from that. It wasn't just a fluke. It wasn't just the mikra that happened.
What?
Okay. So let's continue a little further. Let's go to page number 3, source number 6. The Haftarah continues, referring once again, continuing to talk about those judges and the corruption of the people. Hashoyatim al afar eretz. They have an ambition al afar eretz b'roish dalim, for the dust of the land to be in the heads of the poor people. In other words, when they judge against the poor people, these judges, they judge against the poor people in favor of the wealthy people. Then they hire, they appoint officers that if the poor people don't pay, they go and they beat them up, they throw them to the ground. Al-afar eretz b'roish dalim. They have this desire and this ambition to have the poor people thrown to the ground and to have the dirt of the land in their heads. B'derech anovim, the Adak says the word derech here doesn't mean the way, it means the judgment of Anovim, of the humble people, Yatu. They make it crooked. The Ish, the Aviv, now moving away from the judges, from the monetary, financial corruption, the Ish, the Aviv, a man and his father, Yilchu el Hanara, they'll go and live with the same young girl, Leman Chalal Hashem Kodshi, in order to desecrate my holy name. That a son and a father will live with the same girl, married girl perhaps, Leman Chalal Hashem Kodshi, the Mefarshim say that they don't necessarily have such a great desire to do it. It's only Leman Chalal Hashem Kodshi, solely for the sake of desecrating the name of Hashem. And that's a great indication of the corruption of the Jewish people. The Radak says, he points out that part of the criticism, the primary criticism over here, says the Radak is below Yevosh HaBen Me'oviv Livoil Bulas Oviv. The son is not embarrassed of the father, he has no embarrassment whatsoever of living with the same woman that his father lived with. The Malbim says even further, she says Moira al Roiv HaPirza, it's an indication of the great breach of morals. The Heder HaBoishas and lack of embarrassment from Me'ahurim Bozeh, of a father. The Mufarish, the Radak, the Malbim, they point out that the primary criticism over here is a lack of embarrassment, the lack of busha that the son should have from the father. And that shows the great breach in the morality of the Jewish people. Rav Hirsch points out that this is in stark contrast to what we have in the Parsha this week. In this week's Parsha, Yosef is sold down to Mitzrayim. He's working for Potiphar. We know that Ishus Potiphar is going after Yosef, trying to get him to live with her. And Chazal tell us that Yosef was very tempted. It was not a simple situation. But what saved Yosef? Chazal tell us the bus diuknoi shel aviv, that he saw in his mind his father's face, the image of his father in his mind, and with that prevented him. That held him back. That stopped him from sinning. Says of Hirsch, that's in stark contrast to over here, to the Jewish people are criticized here, accused of Ish v'aviv yelchol anara l'man chal l'shem kodshi, the son and the father together, and the son has no embarrassment whatsoever from the father. And we find that the busha, embarrassment, is a very important midah. It's very important, especially when it comes to arayos, when it comes to issues of arayos, illicit relationships, adultery, that busha, embarrassment, is one of the primary tools that one of the primary things that prevents a person from being nichshol, from sinning, when it comes to arayos. The Mishnah in Avos, in source number 7, Mishnah Maseches Avos, Perek Gimel, Mishnah Yud Gimel says, Rabbi Kiva says, Schoik v'kalus roish margilin lo'erva. Schoik, joking, v'kalus roish, and lightheadedness, lightheartedness, margilin lo'erva, that brings a person to arayis. What does that mean? So I heard numerous times from Rav Belsky Shlita. He said that arayis is a unique kind of sin. Because arayis, unlike other aveiros, requires two people to be involved. Other aveiris, a person could do on his own. But arayis is an aveiris that requires two people. And so therefore, how does a person do that? How does a person has a natural busha, natural embarrassment, to be embarrassed to do a sin, especially such a severe, terrible sin like arayis, how does a person come to do it? And says Rubelsky, that the only way that a person comes to do it is if schoik v'kalos roish. A person makes everything into a joke, which is the antithesis of busha, that takes away busha. Busha is when a person takes things seriously. He's embarrassed to do something that's unacceptable, and embarrassed to do something that's inappropriate, because he takes it seriously, because it bothers him to do something that's not right. But if schoik, kalos roish, a person makes a joke out of everything, if kalos roish, a person makes light of everything, and nothing's important, everything's a joke, haha, everything's funny, so that's magil nerva, that's what could bring a person to erva. How could a person come to do erva, to sin, when someone else clearly knows about it, someone else is involved? How could a person come to do that? It's only when there's no busha, there's no embarrassment. How is there no busha? Schoik v'kalos roish. If everything's a joke, everything's funny, nothing's taken seriously, then there's no busha, there's no embarrassment. That could lead a person even to something so severe like erva, something so terrible like arayis, adultery, promiscuity. But it doesn't just apply to arayis. The Aruch Tzadikin tells us that busha is a very important midah to have for a person to save himself from all averis. In source number 8, the Aruch Tzadikin says, "Roi l'chol adam." It's appropriate for every person, hishtadel, to put an effort, ulisnaig b'midah chashuva hazois, and to conduct himself with this very important midah, very important character trait of busha. Lishakim lo, to come up with, to use his intellect, to use his wisdom, to come up with ideas how to bring himself to this midah of busha, achtei kvua b'nafshei, until it's set in his soul, until it becomes a part of him, until his nature becomes that he's a person who's a baisham, a person who has busha. The yagbir oisa al kol tavav, and he should strengthen it above all of his nature. He should make that the busha is able to override and overcome all of his nature. V'tiyeh be'enov chashuv mishar midoisav, it should be in his eyes more important than the rest of his character traits. Why? Ki bo yagia el roiv hamalois. But through it, through busha, that's what helps a person to reach to most of the elevated levels of avodas Hashem, of serving Hashem. The yimona me'averos mikol midos megunos, and busha, embarrassment, will help a person to refrain from averos, from sins, and mikol midos megunos, and from all bad and negative character traits. And he says, midas habusha hi geder u'mechitzas habarzel lifnei kol ha'averos. Very important idea that midas of the character trait of busha, embarrassment, it's a geder, it's a fence, u'mechitzas barzel, an iron gate. With nekal averus in front of all the sins, ki odom overcome averus baseser. A person does sins in private. Mashiyis bayish lefnei bnei adam. You see, the proof is that when a person is in private, then he'll sin, and those sins he will never do in front of people. Another would never do when people could see. So you see the power of busha, the power of embarrassment, to hold a person back, to prevent him from sinning. The same sins that he does in private, he would never do in public, he would never do when people could see. V'chein omru chacham chazal, tell us, b'shas p'tiras ben Zakkai, the time of the passing of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, omru lo talmidot. The student said to him, very fascinating Gemara, what did the student, said, Rabbeinu, our Rebbe Borcheinu, bless us. Omer lehem, he said to them, what was his blessing, what was his bracha? Yihi ratzoin, it should be the will of Hashem. Sheteheim moira shamayim aleichem kemoira basav adam. That your fear of heaven should be on you like the fear of flesh and blood, like the fear of people. Amru Leh said to him, Ad kan v'su'ulai, we were expecting a nice big bracha, something really great, and you give us this bracha, our fear of heaven should be like our fear of people. That you couldn't give us a better bracha, a better blessing than that. Amar, he said, Halvai, oh, if only it would be like that. Teidai, you should know. Shari Adam, a person sins in private. Vayomer, he says, nothing to worry about, no one sees me. Well, excuse me, you see, what prevents a person from sinning? Why? What prevents a person from sinning? He's afraid he's going to be embarrassed. Before his passing, he tells them, he imparts to them an important lesson, and he tells them, you see, what prevents you from sinning? The embarrassment, the busha. The busha from Abbas of Adam, if only your fear of heaven, if only your embarrassment from Hashem was as great as your fear, your embarrassment from Abbas of Adam from human beings, then you prevent yourself from sinning, not only in private, in public, but in private as well. You'd be able to hold yourself back and refrain from sinning. The Aruch Tzadikim tells us that one of the greatest tools we have in our arsenal that we could use to prevent ourselves from sinning, to grow in our avodas Hashem, is busha, embarrassment. We have to make ourselves, we have to make sure we live in a world where embarrassment is not in style. Everything and anything goes. Everyone is to make everything public and make everyone know about everything that's going on in their lives and pictures and videos. Everyone has to know everything that a person does. And it's a terrible breach. And something that we, as Jewish people, as avodas Hashem, people who serve Hashem, the Tzadikim guides us and tells us that we can't let ourselves fall prey to that. We can't let ourselves fall into the trap and become part of the society in which there's no such thing as embarrassment, there's no such thing as private anymore. Slowly but surely, everything is the all the everything the all the gedarim, all the fences, everything is breaking down and being breached. And we have to realize when such things are occurring, we have to realize what's going on, and we have to make a focused effort on making sure that it doesn't affect us, that we're not influenced from it. We have to make sure that we follow the words of the tzaddikim. Mitzvah habusha geder mechitzas bazel ufnei kol ha'averos. Busha is the number one tool. It prevents a person from sinning. Helps a person stay away from doing averos. And we have to make sure that we keep it up and only enhance and grow in our busha and not chas v'shalom be influenced by the world around us to let our guard down and to do away with our busha. And ideally, the busha should be not just from people. That's perhaps the easier part of being a baishan, but the easier part of having busha. But the more difficult busha is to be embarrassed from Hashem Himself. But that's the ideal level, and that's required of a person. The first sif in Shulchan Aruch HaRachayim, the first Ramah, the Ramah tells us, he starts with the pasuk in Tehillim, source number 9. God, the Ramah is talking, he says, Shivisi Hashem Negdi Samid, I set Hashem, I place Hashem in front of me always, who klal godol batoyrov malis hatzadikim, asher holchim b'fnei hu elikim. This is a klal godol, an important principle, batoyro, and the toyrov malis hatzadikim, and in the virtues of the tzaddikim, the righteous people, asher holchim b'fnei hu elikim. It's an important idea to constantly, for a person to constantly place Hashem in front of him. Why? The Ramah explains to us. The sitting of a person, the movements of a person, and the things that a person's involved with are not the same. When he's alone in his house, like his sitting and his movements, and his involvement, the way a person conducts himself in private is not the same as the way a person conducts himself when he's in front of a great king. And not his speech, and just letting anything come out of his mouth. He's amongst his family, and his relatives. He doesn't talk the same way amongst family and friends like he does when he's in front of the king. Even more so, when a person places in his heart, when a person realizes constantly, the great king Hashem, that his glory fills the entire earth. Oymed Olav is standing on in front of him, Viroya Bimasov, and he sees his actions, Kamashinemar, and he saw Sir Ishba Mistorim, Ba'aniloyer Enu no Mashem. If a person hides himself in a hidden place, Ba'aniloyer Enu, will I not be able to see him, says Hashem. But a person realizes that, Miyod, right away, Yagia Ilov Hayiro, V'Hachno, right away he'll reach the fear of Hashem. And right away, he will submit himself to Hashem, ufachad Hashem yisborach, and he'll be filled with fear of Hashem, with awe of Hashem, uvoshtoi bimenu tamid, and he'll constantly be in a state of busha in front of Hashem, to be embarrassed to do anything that's improper, to do anything that's contrary to the will of Hashem. It's the ideal thing, the right away in the beginning of the Shulchan Aruch, the first thing you open up the Shulchan Aruch, turn around and lead your life, ayrechayim, the way of life, the first thing the Ramah tells us is we have to conduct ourselves with busha. We have to keep in mind, Shivisi Hashem and Agni Summit, place Hashem in front of us always. Why? According to the Rambam and Moir Nevuchim, why? So that we should have boshto imenu tamid. Person should constantly be embarrassed to do things. I'm standing in front of Hashem. How could I do something like this in front of Hashem? How could I do something like this? How could I act like this? Speak like this in the presence of Hashem, the Melech Malchei Amlochim, the king over all kings. So the ideal level, ideally, a person has to have busha from Hashem. Of course, that's much more difficult. We don't see Hashem in front of us. We have to really have strong emunah to believe that Hashem's there. That's much more difficult. But the truth is that even if a person has boishes, has busha from boss of Adam, a person has busha from people, which is perhaps a little easier for a person to do, even that could be very effective. Is an amazing, scary targum at the end of Koheles. The second last pasuk in Koheles says, "Soif dovar hakol nishba," which seems that the pasuk shout of the pasuk, the simple understanding of the pasuk, is that at the end of the matter, after everything's been said and done, So the Kim Yirah, the bottom line is fear Hashem, Besvitzvaysov Shemar, and keep his mitzvah, Kiseh, Kol Adam. This is the essence of a person, that's the job of a person, to fear Hashem and do the mitzvahs. That's a simple understanding of the pasuk. So if davar hakol nishma, after the end of the matter, after everything's been heard, the bottom line is fear Hashem and do the mitzvahs. But if you look in the Targum explains it differently. So if you look in the source 11, by Yud Gimel, the Targum on pasuk Yud Gimel says soif pisgum, the end of the matter is this adid beolma bitzina, everything that's done in the world in private, in hiding, koila, all of it, asid lisparsoma ulishtema'a l'chol b'nei enosha. Asid in the future, lisparsoma, it'll be publicized, ulishtema'a, and it'll be heard l'chol b'nei enosha, by all people, not just by Hashem, by all people. The end of the matter is, anything that's done in this world, in private, in hiding, you think no one will ever know about it, says the Targum, no such luck. It's not true. You think you're in private, no one will find out, no one knows about it now. But at the end of the day, koila, everything, asid lisparsama, ulishtema, everything is going to be publicized, and everything is going to be heard, l'chol b'nei enosha, to all people. And begin came because of that, yos memro de Hashem, havidochil, fear, the word of Hashem, yos p'kodohi, havinotir, and guard his laws, lolimachov besisra, not to sin in private. And the Targum tells us that even if it's difficult for a person to have busha of Hashem, person doesn't see Hashem, it's hard for a person to relate to Hashem being there, person struggles with that, but even if that's difficult, and all you could do is have busha of a basar adam, all you could do is have busha, embarrassment of people, still, there's still an incentive to not sin even in private. Why? Because you should know, says the Targum, you should know that even though something is private right now, it won't stay like that for long. At the end of the day, everything that's done, even in private, will be publicized, will be known, and will be heard to everybody. So therefore, that's an incentive to a person. If a person could at least come to the level of busha of basar v'dam, if a person could at least come to have embarrassment of people, and you can keep in mind the idea that what's done in private will eventually be publicized, then even that could help a person to hold himself back and to refrain from sinning with the knowledge that he knows that his family, his friends, his neighbors will know anything, any sins that he does, even in private, eventually they'll find out about it. And that could be something that a person could use to give him that little extra push, give him that little extra incentive not to sin, even in private. Let's go a little further in the Haftarah, source number 12. The Navi Amos continues to rebuke the Yisrael, the northern kingdom of the Jewish people, the Ten Shvatim. Val begodim chavulim yatu, continues to talk about all the terrible things they would do. Val begodim chavulim, clothes that were taken as a mashkoin, as collateral, yatu etzel komizbeach, on those clothing, yatu, they'll lie down, the etzel komizbeach, next to all of their altars, to avodah zarah, v'yein anushim yishtu beis eloyeihem, and wine that comes from money, that was anushim, of people who are punished, to find, people who they find unjustly, that wine, yishtu beis eloyeihem, they'll drink that wine in the houses of worship for their gods. Those are all the things that the Navi says that Yisrael, that the Jewish people in the northern kingdom were doing. And Hashem says, how could you do that? Pasuk Tes continues, and I destroyed the Amori, the nation of the Amori, from in front of them. The Vadak explains that what it means is Hashem says, I took all the precautions that I could to make sure that you shouldn't be influenced by the ways of the Amori, by the wicked and immoral ways of the Amori and the other nations who were residing in Eretz Yisrael before you got there. Hashem said, I destroyed them in front of you. I didn't want you to be influenced by them. Despite the fact their height was like the height of a cedar tree, they were a very strong and mighty nation. Was strong and mighty like an oak tree. Hashem says, I completely destroyed them and took care of them. I didn't want you to encounter them at all. You didn't have to fight them. You didn't have to meet them. I destroyed them without you. I didn't want you to be influenced by them. Hashem says, I completely and utterly destroyed them, not leaving anything. I destroyed Ashmit Pirya Mimal, I destroyed his fruit from above. And his roots from the bottom, completely uprooted them and destroyed them. You should not have any influence from them. I brought you up from the land of Mitzrayim. And I brought you through the desert for 40 years. I taught you my Torah, I taught you my halachos, my rules, to give you the proper influence, to give you a positive influence before you would get to Eretz Yisrael, where the other nations were living, which they shouldn't be influenced by their terrible ways. As a way of preparing you to go and conquer the land of the Amori, you shouldn't have any negative influence from them. I tried to inculcate you with my ways, with the proper ways of the Torah, before you would get there to Amori, so you shouldn't be influenced from them. Not only that, I gave a special inspiration and I raised up from your children, the Nevi'im, I made them into prophets. I rested my Shekhinah on them. Umbachureichem and Nazirim. Hashem says, I made your young lads, Nazirim, to Nazir. Gave them special inspiration to elevate themselves, to sanctify themselves. All of this Hashem says, I did so you shouldn't have the negative influence. Ha'af ein zois b'nei Yisrael, Adum Hashem. You're going to deny this as well. Ha'af, that even ein zois, that this is also not true. B'nei Yisrael, Jewish people, are going to say, also this is not true. You're going to deny this. No, Hashem says Hashem. Hashem says that I took all of the precautions, all the preparations that I made, that you shouldn't be influenced from the ways of the Amori and from the ways of the other nations who are living in Eretz Yisrael. I took all these precautions and all these steps, so you shouldn't be influenced by them. And despite that, despite all of that, Hashem says you were influenced by their ways and you sinned, the Gili Arayis, the adultery, the Shlichas Damim, murder, Avodah Zarah, idolatry, Chamas, corruption. All of that, despite all that I tried to do to prevent you from being influenced. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, on this last pasuk, says, "Mebachureichem nazirim." Hashem says, "I made your young men to nazirim. I gave them the inspiration to become nazirim, to separate themselves from wine and to grow their hair and not become tameh." He says that this seems to indicate that it was common that Nazirim were younger people. That the Nazirim, people who would accept upon themselves Nazirus, they were Bachurim, young people. It was common that it was young people who would accept upon themselves Nazirus. There seems to be other sources of this as well. There's Ramban and Pashas Nosai, which seems to speak in these terms as well. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky quoting Gemara in Adarim, talks about a young shepherd who was working for his father who became a Nazir. And he says for a number of places, it seems that the common practice was that young people, young men, were the ones who would accept upon themselves the zeros. And what's very interesting is that he says that explains a pasuk in Parashas Nosai. Right? We know one of the rules of a nazir is that he's not allowed to become tamei. Not allowed to become tamei to anybody. So what does the pasuk say? Let's take a look in source number 13. It says, "Kol yimei haziroi laHashem," all the days that he's a nazir to Hashem, "Al nefesh meis lo yovo," he shouldn't come in contact with a dead body. Now, who's included in that? Pasuk Zayin says, "Lo ovim," his father, he shouldn't become tamei from his father, "Uleimayin," from his mother, "Lo achiv," his brother, "Uleachoisayin," his sister, "Lo yitam olehem b'moisam," he shouldn't become tamei, defile himself to them when they are deceased, "Kinezer elikov al roishoy," because the crown of Hashem is on his head, because he is distinguished himself as a Nazir of Hashem, therefore he shouldn't become Tameh even to his closest relatives. That's what the Pasuk says about a Nazir. Now if we look in source number 14, we'll see, we know that a Kohen has similar rules, similar halachos to a Nazir. However, a Kohen is allowed to become tamei to his closest relatives. But if we look in the Pesukim Parshas Emor, which spoke about the Kohen, let's look. It says, "Ve'emer Hashem al Moshe," Hashem said to Moshe, "Emor al Kohanim b'nei Aaron," speak to the Kohanim, children of Aaron, "Ve'omar to aleihem," should say to them, "L'nefesh lo yitamo ba'amo," should not become tamei to any person in his people. "Ki'im," except "L'she'eroi ha'korei ve'lov," to his wife who was close to him, "Le'imoi," to his mother, "Ula'aviv," to his father, V'levnoi and to his son, Ulevitoi and to his daughter, Ulachiv and to his brother, V'achoisi abasula akroiz and to his sister, who was not married, lo yitamo, he can become tummy to her as well. So the pasuk in Parashat Emor tells us who are the relatives that a kohen could become tummy to, which kinds of mesim, deceased relatives, is he allowed to become tummy to, and it lists a list of seven people: his wife, his mother, his father, his son, daughter, brother, and sister. And those are the seven relatives. And the Torah tells us by a Nazir, right, the Nazir is not allowed to become Tomei to the people that a Kohen is allowed to become Tomei to. Right, he's like a Kohen Gadol who can't become Tomei to anybody. Yet, if we look back in the list, in source number 13, in Pashas Nasai, which talks about the Nazir, right, we'll notice that two of the relatives are missing. When it says who he can't become Tomei to, it says father and mother, brother and sister. Doesn't say anything else. It's missing actually three. It's missing a son, a daughter, and a wife.
Which word is wife?
In Yodal L'sheiroi. Kim L'sheiroi Yakosim HaKorei Ve'lov.
Relatives.
But it's referring to HaKorei Ve'lov. HaShoi HaKorei Ve'lov is his closest relative, his wife.
Okay.
So in the pasuk by the Nazir, it leaves out those three relatives. Says the Yaakov Kamenetsky, why does he leave those out? He says, perhaps it's because of this. The Torah is talking about a normal case of Nazirus. And he says the normal case of Nazirus was, the Torah understood, that Nazirus would for the most part be taken upon themselves by young men, by young teenage perhaps, teenage boys. They were the ones who would accept upon themselves Nazirus. And therefore the Torah leaves out the relatives that are not relevant to them. For a young man, it's not relevant to say that he can't become tummy to his son and his daughter and his wife, because we're talking to a young man who will usually not be married. And he says that explains the pasuk that provides support to his theory that in the history of the Jewish people, it was young men who were the ones who accepted Nazirus upon themselves. So why is that? Why was it that only there was young men who accepted upon themselves Nazirus? And the Yaakov explains, he says that we know what's the idea behind the Nazirus. The Torah tells us, Chazal tell us, that the parasha, the discussion of a Nazir, is written immediately after the parasha of a Soita, the discussion of a Soita. And Chazal tell us, very famously, that Shkolaroya Soita B'Kol Kula, anyone who sees the downfall of the Soita, Yazir Atzmi Min Ayayin, so he'll stay away from wine. He says, he looks, he sees what happened to her and the potential downfall that a person can have if they give in to their desires, if they're not in control of themselves. So he says to himself, I'm going to take extra measures to make sure that I don't come to that. I'm going to refrain from drinking wine. I don't want to get myself into any bad situations. He says that that's much easier for a young person to do than an older person. A young person, he's still not so set in his ways. So it's much easier for him to say, I'll accept upon myself to refrain from these things, and I'll train myself not to give in to my desires too much. But a person who's already more set in his ways, a person who has already for a long time he's conducted himself in a certain manner, it's much more difficult for a person to break away from it once he has been doing it for so long. And so therefore I suggest to Yaakov Kamenetsky that that's why it was more common that young people would accept upon themselves Nazirus to try to train themselves before they get to the point where it's the point of no return, or a point of much more difficult return, where it's much more difficult to break their bad habits before they develop those habits. They would accept upon themselves Nazirus to prevent themselves from ever getting into those habits. But the truth is that even whatever stage a person is up to in their life, so a person might say to themselves, okay, it's too late, so what am I to do for myself? But the truth is, if you think about it, that tomorrow you'll be older than you are today. So whatever a person's up to, a person always has to realize that the longer a person waits to try to change himself, to try to improve himself, the more difficult it's going to be. It's not just a matter of the difference between a 15-year-old and a 50-year-old. But every day, a person becomes more accustomed and more and more entrenched in his habits and his behaviors. So whatever point a person is in life, a person has to try to make the changes that he wants to make in his life today. And don't push it off for tomorrow. It's always much easier to say, oh, okay, fine, I'll start tomorrow. But a person, the message of the Umbachurechem and Azirim, says Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, is that it's much easier for a person to change himself and to affect positive changes in his life earlier on, earlier than later. And every day that a person pushes it off, and every day that a person waits, it becomes harder and harder for him to change from his habits and from what he's used to. And so therefore, a person has to always try to make whatever changes and improvements that he desires to make in his life as quickly as possible, and not push it off for later when perhaps it'll be too hard.
Thank you.